Turn to the book of Jude as we get ready to contend for our faith. Wasn't worship good? I love that song. I love all those songs. I always like when I try to speak, I try not to sing as much, but then sometimes you can't help but worship, right? You can't help but lift up a note of praise. And so I was like, well, I guess if I don't have no voice by the end of it all, it'll be my fault. But the God is good. And those songs just resonate with me that no matter what we go through, that God is with you and he's for you. He's not against you. You don't need a trophy. You don't need a crown. You have a God who is. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is here. God is here. Whew, it's good. Thank you for all the ladies that did so many fabulous things. I am so not gifted in like decorations and things like that. And so thank you to the ladies that just went above and beyond, to Amber who spoke an incredible word. We're going to be looking at the book of Jude. So if you don't have a Bible, there's one like on the side of you, behind you, in front of you. It's the blue book. And we're going to look at, Jude is at the end of the Bible. And so it's only one chapter. It's only one chapter. And I want you to look at it this morning because when I read through the Bible like consistently as a devotion, and so whenever I get to Jude, I'm sort of whooped because it's the end. And I'm like, okay, and I know Jude and Revelation. And I oftentimes have to read it with other things. And this week I have just been meditating over the book of Jude. Jackie Hill Perry, if you're wanting to like dive in deep, she has a phenomenal Bible study on the book of Jude, contending for your faith, contending, fighting for your faith. I don't know if you ever got in a fight before. Anybody ever got in a fight before? Yeah, all of you? Yeah. I got in a fight one time. I was in kindergarten, and my bus driver, her name was Miss Mitchell, and she, this little guy would always pick on me. He was my next door neighbor, and I'll never forget, back in the day, you could fight. You remember those days? How many people old enough to know you didn't get in trouble for fighting, that you were encouraged to fight? And so to get it over with, and you didn't, and so I sat there, and he kept on picking on me day after day after day, and so finally Miss Mitchell turns around and said, baby, you can hit him. And so I cocked back with all my little five-year-old strength. I was a twig, and I just hit him in the face, and I ran down my driveway to my mama. And that's the only fight I've ever been in, but he never messed with me again. He never talked back. I was contending. You're not going to play games. And today I want to encourage you to contend for the faith. It's getting rough out there. I always think for my young people, I help young people, and I think if I had to go what they're going through, I grew up as a 90s baby, and I to think what they go through on a consistent basis, and what they're having to fight for. They're going to have to fight for their faith. They're going to have to contend for their faith. This is not something that's going to be easy for us, and Jude writes a letter to the people in the same place, in the same predicament, and he writes a letter. Now, you ever wrote a letter before? I wrote letters. Anybody ever wrote a love letter? You wrote a love letter? Remember those? You used to write love letters. Circle me. Do you like me? Circle yes or no. And those were fun. Those were fun. I always got the maybe. I was always the kid with the maybe. And so, my love life is not really good. And so you might write letters as a young lover, or letters to change our government. I always write letters for people so that they can get out of school. That's sort of my job. Like, can you write me a letter, Miss Tara? Because I'm at this church function, and I'll write a letter, an official letter. Letters are written to be read. And Jude writes this letter as the brother of James, and the pastor said last week, as a servant of Jesus Christ. Let's read it. Jude 1. You only have to say one, I think, right? Because it's like already understood. It's chapter one. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved of God and the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, mercy. Somebody say mercy. Somebody say peace and love and love for yours and abundance. And we talked about last week as we put those in our lives that all of the junk comes out and all of the filth of this world comes out as we begin to abound and overflow in mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Today we're going to read verses 3 until verse 16. So here we go. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write about your salvation we share, I felt compelled. Somebody say compelled. See, I just want to stop there for a moment. We're going to continue. There is a compelling that Jude had. Though he wanted to write about salvation and to be encouraging, he saw some things going around in the church in that particular time, and he says, I feel compelled. There is something that, you ever felt compelled about something? About a month ago, I was sitting in youth service, and my sister was preaching on repentance. We asked her to come in and speak on repentance, and she's sharing, and the kids come up to the altar, like 10, 20 kids weeping before the Lord, crying, God, I've got to repent. I've got to get this out. And there was a young man in the back of the building, in the back by me. I always sit by the guys who are like, whatever, I don't want to worship. And I'm like, whatever, you get to sit by me then. And so I'm sitting there, and the Holy Spirit just urged me, and he said, you need to go talk to that young man and tell him. It was a compelling, and it was a specific word for him. And the word was just so clear. He says, I just said, you're going to need to leave your friends or else those friends are going to catch up with you and you're going to land up in trouble. It was a compelling. It was something on my heart, and I kept on trying to worship and I kept on trying to do something else. And the Lord said, you're going to tell him that. You're going to go and tell him the word of the Lord. And I think that's where Jude is. Jude is like, you wanted to say something, but really the Holy Spirit has something else to say. And so here we are in the book of Jude, and it says this. In verse 3, it says, dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith. Somebody say contend for the faith that we once had for all entrusted to God's holy people. For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus, our only sovereign and Lord. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord at one time delivered his people out of Egypt, but he later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their proper dwelling. Those he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion, and they serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. In the very same way, on the strength of their dreams, these ungodly people pollute their own bodies, they reject authority, and they heap abuse on celestial beings. But even if the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him for slander, but the Lord said, the Lord rebuke you. Yet these people slander whatever they do not understand, and the very things they do understand by instinct as irrational animals, they destroy them. Verse 11 says, woe to them. They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed into Korah's rebellion. These people are blemishes at your love feast, eating with you without the slightest qualm. Shepherds who feed only themselves. You know some of those. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. Autumn trees without fruit and uprooted twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame. Wandering stars for whom the blackest darkness has been reserved for. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all of them who are in their ungodly acts they have committed in their ungodliness and of all the defiant words ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These people are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires, and they boast about themselves, and they flatter others for their own advantage. Can we pray? Lord, I pray, Lord, this is some word. This is some word that goes way back into the Old Testament. And God, we need your understanding, but I am so thankful that in the book of James, it says, if anybody needs wisdom, that we could ask of God, and he will give it to us. So this morning, God, we need these scriptures to open up to us. We need this letter that Jude wrote about 2,000 years ago, Lord, that word would become alive and living and active. It would convict us and it would compel us to contend for the faith, to fight for the faith, to not give in to all these different things that we just read about, but rather, Lord, we would be a people holy and righteous and without blemish. In your name we pray, and everyone said, amen. All right, we're going to get started this morning, and so we want to talk about contending for the faith. Now, I want to explain to you the letter. He was pulling in some Old Testament truths. A lot of us in the room, we're not so familiar with the Old Testament. Myself, my husband is an Old Testament guru. If you have a question about the Old Testament or Revelation, you go ask him. I'm all up in the New Testament, yo. And so I'm sitting there, and I just sort of love the Word of God. But the truth of the Scripture is that we are to know the Old Testament and the New Testament equally as well, and because it brings out truth. And so Jude, who would have been talking to people who knew this, was bringing out stories from the Old Testament. And he's saying this. He says, this is a time to contend for your faith. This is not a time to shrink back. Do you see? I see people shrinking back. I'm just being honest as a pastor. I see people that quit coming. I have seen people walk away. Jude is saying, this is not a time to give up. This is not a time to throw in the towel. This is not a time to be consumed by the culture that is so easy in today's world. It says this is not a time to listen to the lies of the enemy. This is not a time to not be involved. It's not a time to become like the world. This is not a time to give up your position. You are seated with Christ. The same power that rose Christ from the dead lives on the inner side of you. And so many people are giving up that position to go back to the world, to go back to culture, to go back. And Jude's saying, no, we're going to fight. We're going to contend for the faith. Some people don't do what they said they were going to do. We listen to our feelings. This is not a time to listen to your feelings, to be lukewarm. This is not a time to be half-hearted. You're just, okay, I love Jesus, but I also love this or this thing. This is not a time, because he takes out the stories of the old, and Jude reminds them. He says, this is a time to contend. Somebody say contend. For the faith, say for the faith. See, it needs to be said today that we need to fight for this. Sometimes at the end of a long week, I like taking a break. I do. I work hard. I feel like I work hard. And I come in and we're giving back to the homeless, and we're having children, and we have after school programs. On Wednesday nights, we stay from like 8:30 in the morning till about 9 at night. I'm exhausted. As my body has gotten older, and I'm in my 40s, I can't do what I used to do in my 20s and 30s. And I feel like sometimes I feel like this overwhelming presence, just stop fighting. And I was like, that sounds fun. And there's a rest that we have in the Lord, but there is also that we always are contending for the faith. In fact, Philippians 2 in verse 12 and 13, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. Somebody say that. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So there is this idea that the rest that we have comes in heaven. There's a time when we will rest at the presence of the Lord, and there are times inside of worship. But the truth of the matter is as believers that have the breath of God in our lungs, we are fighting a very real enemy. And whenever I just step down or I step out, the enemy comes and begins to attack my family, begins to attack the church, begins to attack my mind, my emotions. Why? Because I said, well, I'm just going to take a break. I just want to rest a little bit. And my resting is like, let's just do what the world does. Let's just look at, let me just binge watch whatever it is, Netflix or whatever. Let my mind go somewhere else. And the enemy says, sure, let your mind go somewhere else, because he's fighting a very real battle. And Jude writes this. He says, we have to contend. But Philippians says, you've got to work out your salvation. So what does Jude do? He writes a letter to encourage us. Now, I have a little illustration, and I'm going to try to make this a little bit easier to understand. The first thing that Jude does, I don't know if you can see this, but it says what they did. Jude is not only excellent with the Lord, he is a really good English student. I guess he wrote in another language, but the way that he writes this letter is incredible. His point is, I'm going to contend for the faith. And then he goes and tells us many different ways and people who did not contend for the faith. That's a great essay. You ever wrote an essay? I don't know. I help my kids. They're Filipino. So I help them write essays. And I was helping my one oldest kid write scholarships. And by helping, I mean I practically wrote it. And so I'm sitting there and I'm saying, here's the topic, right? You are great. This happened to you. And then I start giving and use illustrations from your life story and blah, blah, blah. And by the end, it was wonderful. I believe he's with every scholarship. And so, and why? Because it was excellently written to prove the main topic, which is you should give my oldest boy a scholarship because we broke. And so we need some money. And that was like the main theme of everything. And I wrote really, really nice things to prove my point. Jude is the same way. He's like, you've got to contend for your faith. And these are people and things that did not. And so he goes to what they did. So he pulls out of the Old Testament these glorious truths. What did he say? He said the first one is you walked away from your freedom. And then he gives an example. He says, remember in Egypt, y'all walked away from your freedom. God set you free. And then you start mumbling and complaining. He says, be careful that you don't walk away from your freedom like they did in Egypt. Does that make sense? And so he's encouraging us as we contend to walk away from freedom. Then he brings another illustration Jude does. He says they rejected authority. And then he brings out the angels of heaven. Remember, God creates the heavens and the earth, and there are angels, and Lucifer comes like an angel, and he throws out, and the authority was God, and yet Lucifer, Satan, says this, and he falls down from heaven, and he takes one third of the what with him? The angels. Why? Because they rejected the authority of Christ. And so Jude says, hey, there are some people that are acting like this. They're rejecting authority. And then he says, here's another thing they did. They were sexually immoral. And like, well, that's everybody in today's world. And he said, and he brings out an example of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he goes back and he pulls out the story that everyone remembered where fire fell from heaven because of their sexual immorality. And he says, this is not the way that we can be. If we're going to contend for the faith, we can't walk away from our freedom. We can't reject authority. We can't be sexually immoral. And then he says, and then there's have some people with ignorant instincts. They're going to spiritualists. They're going to the white witches. They're going to your crystals. They're going to the, I'm just putting in some things. They're going to the horoscopes. We're going to, he says, those people, that's not how we contend for the faith. So he proves it that we need to contend by what they did. Now, Jude continues writing this amazing letter, and he says, here's another point that I'm going to add. I'm going to add some people who they were. And he gives illustrations by calling out some names. Now, he didn't call out my name. Hallelujah. He called out some people in the Bible. And here's what he said. These are some people, what they did and he calls out situations. Now he starts pulling out some names from the Old Testament. And he's like, these are people who did not contend for the faith. Well, they have the way of Cain. Now, you might have remembered right after Adam and Eve, they had some kids, and Cain killed his brother, Abel. It says, so the way of Cain was that he was a murderer. And so he says, there's some people in the house of God that are a murderer, and that is also like anger and hatred. And he says, you can't follow the way of Cain. And then he goes on and he says the way of Balaam. And you may have remembered Balaam. This was interesting because this was the man that listened to a talking donkey. And this was not Shrek. This was not Shrek at all. And so we see that he listens. I think that's where they got the illustration for Shrek. You remember the donkey and Shrek? Come on. And so it's interesting because 2 Peter writes about this same story. And 2 Peter, the letter that Peter wrote was also at the same time of Jude, and they write the same things. They must have saw something in the church. And he says, 2 Peter says this, they have left the straight way and they have wandered off to follow the way of who? Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of what? Wickedness. And so there's people that wander off from the faith because they like the wages, but the wages come with a wage of wickedness. And he says, but he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, an animal without speech who spoke with a human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. So he gives examples of Cain. He gives an example of Balaam, who liked the wages of wickedness. And then he gives an example of Korah. And he pulls out another story from the Old Testament. And in Korah, it's another person who preferred to be his own master. And it says this in Numbers 16, 31 through 34. It says, as soon as Korah had finished speaking all those words, the ground under them split apart. And the earth opened up and swallowed them up, and their households, and all the people who belonged to Korah, and all their goods, so that all belonged to them, went down into Sheol, which is another word for hell, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. And all over Israel who were around them fled at their cry, for they said, let the earth swallow us up. And the fire came from the Lord and consumed the 250 men offering their incense. So Jude says, here's some people and what they did. Are you doing this? Are you walking away from your freedom? Are you rejecting authority? Are you in sexual immorality? Are you using ignorant and spiritualistic instincts but not looking to Jesus? And then Jude says, but that's not all. I want to ask you some more questions. Are you doing what these guys did? Are you in the way of Cain, murderous and anger? Are you using the way of Balaam, where you're using wicked wages? Are you the way of Korah in rebellion? And so he says, we have to contend for the faith. We can't be like what they did. We can't be who they were. And now Jude says, who they are now. So now he talks to the church there 2,000 years ago. So he goes in the past. And this he writes to the future. And here's what he says. And I love this. He says, some of you are blemishes at your love feast. That's weird. So I had to look that up because I was like, I don't even know what that means. Blemishes at a love feast. I don't know. And when I think of blemishes, I think put on more makeup. But the real translation was that there were reefs that would split rocks. The reefs that were hidden below the surface. You ever been on a beach and there have been like some coral reefs and some rocks? I don't know that we have those at Grand Isle. I haven't been in a minute. But you ever been in a place and all of a sudden you hit that rock and like, dang, I got just hit my rock. It's hard because you didn't see it. And what he's saying is that there were some people in the church and they were blemishes. They were rocks hidden in the surf. And all of a sudden, this would come out and you would begin to look at it. He said, some of these are shepherds that only care about money. There were some shepherds that were feeding themselves. And Ezekiel 34 says the same thing. There were shepherds that just cared about lining their pocketbook, getting more money, getting more fame. He said, there's some clouds, and he uses these beautiful illustrations without rain. Like there would be, you ever had a cloud and you think the rain's coming, and it never comes? And I know for us in South Louisiana, we're like, yay, no rain today. But think in a desert when you see a cloud and you're waiting for the rain. Think in California where there's an extreme drought. And what do they do when they see a cloud? They desperately need the cloud to have rain. And he said, there's some people in the church that you're just a big puffy cloud, but you got no rain coming out of you. And he says, that's what's happening in the church. He says, there's some autumn trees and they're without fruit. He says, there's some people that don't have the fruit of God. He says, there's some wild waves of the sea. You ever been in a place and there's some wild waves that just take you out and take you for a ride? One day, about many years ago, my father, we had a youth camp and there were some kids that went out in Florida into the surf and there was an undertow, a rip current that took four kids. And my dad, by the grace of God, went in after them and rescued all four and lived to tell about it. They wrote an article about him, but that was a rip turn. You don't see it, right? It just comes and it grabs a hole and it takes you out to sea. And so you see those things and he says, hey, these things are happening up in the church. There are people that are coming like wild waves of the sea. And the last illustration he gives is there were wandering stars, deceptive leadership. You remember the wandering star of them all, Satan, who was like a star. And he says there's these wandering stars and they don't stay put and they don't listen. He says it's like the fallen star of Satan. And so he gives us the illustration. Now he says, contend for the faith. Somebody say, contend for the faith. So we're looking at what they did, these people. We're looking in the way past on who some of these were, Cain, Balaam, and Korah. And then Jude points out the present right there. Blemishes, shepherds, clouds, autumn trees, wild waves, wandering stars. He says, I wanted to write to you about salvation, but there was an urging on the inside of me that there were some things that were not healthy inside of you. There were some things that weren't quite where they needed to be. And as you continue in these descriptions, there's ungodly people in the mix, and he's using nature and he's using the culture. And then the last one is, what will happen? Somebody say, what will happen? So he goes to the past. He lands in the future, which is also prophetically speaking to us. But then he reminds us. And I think this is where we have to plant this morning. What will happen? It is tempting in today's culture to see people do all of this and get away with it. You see all of these things happening and you think, well, I maybe want to be in one of these situations because at least they're getting what they want now. But Jude reminds us it's not about what we want now. It's about the future that we will one day have. What will happen? This morning, as my husband and I were getting ready, we were talking over a situation in our lives, and we said, you know what? There's a better way coming. There's a better place coming. Guys, that's not here and now. That's not in this present moment. So what Jude does is he says, well, let me remind you, church. Let me use the past that is in the present, but let me remind you of your future. See, the enemy has a future, and his future is hell. See, that's where this is, and that's where that is, and that's where this is. But he says, let me remind you of your future. Why? So you can contend for the faith, so you can keep on coming, so you don't quit, so you don't throw in the towel, so you don't give up your position. Look at verse 14. Verse 14, Jude is bringing out the narrative and people from the past to make a point so that we can worry about our future. And look at verse 14. It says, Enoch. Somebody say, Enoch. The seventh from Adam. Interesting that it's the number of seven, right? How many days did Jesus, the creation of the world happened in 6 days, and on the seventh he rested. So Enoch, the seventh from Adam. So there was Adam, and there were that many generations until Enoch. And Enoch was a holy and righteous man, and he walked with God until he was no longer there, a type of Jesus. And it says this in verse 14, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about this. He said, see, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones. I love this. He encourages us to contend for the faith by reminding us that the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all of them of all the ungodly acts they have committed in their ungodliness and of all the defiant words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These people are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and they flatter others for their own advantage. And when we look at the Word of God, we see that the past becomes the future. We begin to look at the Word of God and we say, there is a time coming when thousands upon thousands of his holy ones will begin to judge everyone. Somebody say, God's